This message is given in the name of Jesus, our Lord and Savior. Amen. Today we celebrate Palm Sunday. This is the beginning of what many Christians call Holy Week. Just a few days before his death on the cross, Jesus entered Jerusalem on a Sunday as people greeted him and shouted, "Hosanna to the Son of David! Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord! Hosanna in the highest!" However, just a few days later, they were screaming, "Crucify him!" How could that happen? How could their feelings about Jesus change so quickly? Could our feelings about Jesus change in this way? If so, how could that happen to us? Today we continue our Sunday Lenten sermon series entitled Jesus' Letters to Us. For the past several Sundays, we've been hearing these letters, and today we examine Jesus' letter to the church in Laodicea. But remember, as I've said several times already, these letters are meant for all churches of all times and places, including the church here in Jamestown. With that said, I must say that as we hear Jesus' letter to the church in Laodicea, we may be shocked at Jesus' harsh tone. In fact, this letter is the most harsh of all seven letters. In the other six letters, Jesus at least mentions something good about the churches, not Laodicea. Jesus has nothing good to say about them. However, Jesus does have good news for them. But before they can hear the good news and believe it, Jesus must give them the bad news. In fact, at this point we need to understand that when God rebukes us, He is actually showing love and concern for us. You see, God knows that if we get comfortable with our sin, we won't see any need for Jesus. If we get comfortable with our sin, we won't see any need for forgiveness of sin that He won for us by His death on the cross. Therefore, in order to save us from the death and hell we deserve, Jesus rebukes us. And He does this out of love. As Jesus said in His letter, "Those whom I love, I rebuke and discipline. So be earnest and repent." Now, with that understood, let's hear what Jesus writes to them and us. He says, "These are the words of the Amen, the faithful and true witness, the ruler of God's creation." Now, Jesus calls Himself the Amen. When we used to have the old Lutheran hymnal, some of you who are older remember that, every single hymn ended with Amen. Well, Amen is actually a Hebrew word. And what does it mean? Well, the Hebrew word Amen means, "This is most certainly true." It's true. So Jesus is saying that He comes to us as the faithful and true witness. In other words, when Jesus speaks to us, we know that His word is truth. And so we better listen. We better take Him seriously. In addition, Jesus says that He rules over all creation. You see, Jesus Himself, along with the Father and the Holy Spirit, created the universe and all life. Jesus is in control. And so if we think that we can control Him, or ignore Him, or live without Him, then we are extremely foolish and utterly deceived. Now listen to what Jesus says next. "I know your deeds, that you are neither cold nor hot. I wish you were either one or the other. So because you are lukewarm, neither hot or cold, am about to spit you out of my mouth. So what is the problem with this church in Laodicea that Jesus is describing? I can sum it up in one word. Apathy. They were no longer excited about the ways of God. Instead, they were excited about their own sinful ways. Oh, they thought, you know, if God wants to go along with how we think, that's fine. But when they heard preaching about repentance, when they heard a sermon about their need for forgiveness, when they heard a message about living according to God's will, they responded by saying, whatever. You see, they should have shouted a zealous amen to God's faithful witness, but instead they said, whatever. Here's how they were thinking. They were thinking, oh, church is so boring. I mean, all we ever hear is about how we're supposed to repent and trust in Jesus and live according to His will. I mean, that's no fun. What good is God if He doesn't do things our way? Besides, we really don't need Jesus all that much. We've got it made here in Laodicea. Life is good. Things are going our way. But what does Jesus say about their whatever attitude? Jesus says they are lukewarm. Now, what does that mean? Well, if you go to a restaurant and you order soup, you want it to be hot. If you go to a restaurant and order iced tea, you want it to be cold. But if you take a big spoonful of soup and it's lukewarm, if you take a big gulp of iced tea and it's lukewarm, you just might get the urge to spit it out of your mouth. That's how Jesus feels about their whatever attitude. Jesus is sick to his stomach. Now, how did they end up in that horrible condition? I'll tell you how. One apathetic step at a time. Slowly but surely, one step at a time, they became bored with the things of God. Slowly but surely, one step at a time, they became curious and excited about the sinful things of this world. You see, going from a fervent belief to a whatever attitude doesn't happen overnight. It happens one sinful step at a time. And that's why we better take seriously every one of those sinful steps, because they can lead us to utter ruin. Now, according to Jesus' letter, the ultimate sin that did them in was their trust in their wealth. Now, please understand, I'm not saying there's anything wrong with being rich. The Bible teaches that God in His wisdom chooses to bless some people with great wealth, and He even wants us to enjoy our blessings. But God also warns us that our sin can so easily turn wealth into a false god. And when we trust in our riches, we have then deceived ourselves. So Jesus says to them, you say, I am rich. I have acquired wealth and do not need a thing. But you do not realize that you are wretched, pitiful, poor, blind, and naked. You see, they thought they had everything, but they really had nothing. Simply put, their faith in Jesus was about to die. They were in danger of rejecting the Lord completely. Jesus was about to spit them out of His mouth, which means that they would lose their salvation and spend eternity in hell, where the temperature is not lukewarm. But Jesus doesn't want that to happen to them. So He says, I counsel you to buy from me gold refined in the fire, so you can become rich, and white clothes to wear, so you can cover your shameful nakedness, and salve to put on your eyes, so you can see. Simply put, Jesus is stressing that they need the kind of treasure, the kind of nourishment, and the kind of healing that only He can give them. In other words, they need a repentant heart. They need the forgiveness of their sins. They need the desire to live according to God's will. They need the hope of eternal life in God's love. Now, many scholars believe that these words of Jesus are based on a passage from Isaiah chapter 55, which makes sense because Jesus' words and his letters are constantly referring to Old Testament texts and images. So let me read to you this passage from Isaiah 55. Come, all you who are thirsty, come to the waters. And you who have no money, come, buy and eat. Come, buy wine and milk without money and without cost. Why spend money on what is not bread and your labor on what does not satisfy? Listen, listen to me and eat what is good, and your soul will delight in the richest of fare. Give ear and come to me. Hear me that your soul may live. Do you see what Jesus is doing? First, he makes them thirsty for salvation by rebuking their sin. Second, he tells these poor, miserable sinners to buy without cost. How can you buy without cost? Well, Jesus has paid the price for our sin, and he longs to freely give us his mercy, his love, and his life. You see, my friends, Jesus is our only real treasure. If we trust in Jesus, then we are truly rich. Jesus also gives us white clothes. Now, what does that mean? Well, if you recall last Sunday, I quoted a passage from Revelation chapter 7, where John writes these words, "They have washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb." Finally, Jesus also heals our sinful eyes. With the salve of his word, he takes away our sinful blindness so that we can see clearly the evil we are to avoid and the ways of God that we are to embrace. Jesus then says, "Here I am. I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in and eat with him, and he with me." My friends, Jesus is always knocking at the door of your lives. Jesus wants more than Sunday morning and Wednesday nights. He wants to be with you every moment of every day. He begs for your undivided attention. Why? So that he can love you and also by his word give you a zealous faith that is on fire for the Lord. Jesus ends his letter with these words, "To him who overcomes, I will give the right to sit with me on my throne, just as I overcame and sat down with my Father on his throne." First, Jesus says that he overcame. In other words, he overcame our sin, he overcame our death, and he did this by dying on the cross and then conquering death when he rose from the grave. But now the real question is, how do we overcome? Jesus says, "To him who overcomes." Well, when Jesus says that, he doesn't mean that by our own strength we must overcome, because then we would all have no hope whatsoever. Instead, we overcome by trusting in Jesus, who overcame for us. We overcome by confessing our sin and realizing that we deserve only hell and God's wrath, and then trusting in Jesus, who delivered us from that and has given us true wealth and true nourishment and true healing. Jesus overcame for us, and we overcome by repenting and trusting in Him. In closing, how does this letter to Laodicea apply to us? Well, if we're honest, we have to admit that sometimes we're also guilty of being lukewarm. We are sometimes guilty of having a whatever attitude toward the things of God. And my friends, saying whatever to the things of God is even worse than screaming, "Crucify Him." We live in America, my friends, the wealthiest nation on earth. I read a statistic recently that said that our teenagers spend more on fast food and iPods than our third world families in other nations make in 1 year. We are wealthy. Even the poor among us are wealthy. But along with that wealth comes the danger of thinking that we really don't need God all that much. And when we start to think that way, then we are truly wretched, pitiful, poor, blind, and naked. The truth is that Jesus ought to spit us out of His mouth. That's what we deserve. But instead, out of His mouth come words of love. First, Jesus lovingly rebukes us so that we might take our sins seriously and repent. And then, second, Jesus tells us that we can receive forgiveness, love, and eternal life with God, and it will cost us nothing. And that's good news, because we have nothing to offer God. But thank God, Jesus purchased those gifts for us. Jesus purchased our salvation when He rode into Jerusalem on Palm Sunday, knowing that a few days later on Good Friday, He would be nailed to a cross. Just think of it, my friends. Jesus rode into Jerusalem knowing exactly what would happen to Him. If I would have been Him, I would have got off that donkey, found the fastest horse in town, and rode the opposite direction. But Jesus kept going, and He did it for you. However, before Good Friday, we have Maundy Thursday. That's the night when Jesus instituted the Lord's Supper. Think of it, my friends. Not only do saving words of love come from Jesus' mouth, but He also places His body and blood into our mouths to assure us that we are forgiven and that we have overcome through faith in Him. When Jesus rode into Jerusalem, the people shouted, "Hosanna!" In our opening hymn, in our sermon hymn, we sang, "Hosanna!" What does that word mean? Well, once again, Hosanna is a Hebrew word, and it means save us. Sadly, the people on that day did not understand what kind of Savior Jesus was. But by the grace of God, because of Jesus' letters to us, we now understand what kind of Savior Jesus is. In fact, that's why in a few moments in our communion liturgy, we will sing Hosanna in preparation for the Lord's Supper, where Jesus comes to us with His body and blood given and shed for us. In the communion liturgy, we will sing Hosanna, Hosanna, Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is He who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. Amen. Now may the peace of God, which passes all our understanding, guard our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus, our Lord and Savior. Amen. In a moment we'll have the offering, but before we do that, please share the peace of the Lord with your neighbor.